Midtown Manhattan, New York City, to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Well, here we are. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Thursday to you on this 13th day of September, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and I just put on our Facebook page a photo of Elvis Presley shaking hands with Kim Jong-un in the Oval Office of the White House. And somebody thinks it's fake. I can't imagine why anybody would think this fake. I mean, you can see there's Elvis Presley shaking Kim Jong-un's hand. It's the Oval Office. There's all the flags and everything else behind. So Congress is now stepping up, and they are going to investigate fake news. So I thought, well, I'll post this photo of Kim Jong-un shaking Elvis's hand. Ask you, take a look at it. Is it real or is it fake? What do you mean you don't have to take a look at it? Kim Jong-un wasn't alive when Elvis was alive. What do you mean? Don't let facts get in the way of a good story. Come on. The photo looks great. This all leads into two stories. One of them is Facebook. Oh man, they're trying so hard to basically go, please don't bother us from Washington D.C. We've been doing just fine out here in Silicon Valley. We don't want any more heat from you people in Washington D.C. And besides that, you don't even know what the questions are you should be asking. But so Facebook has said they're going to expand their fact-checking operations to vet photos and videos. That's a big announcement they made this morning. And the reason why is because of advances in technology, and they're continuing to advance every day, are making it easier for people to manipulate real videos and real photos and make it appear that someone did or said something they did not. We talked about this before. I mean, Photoshop has been around for how long? I look it up for me and see how long this Photoshop's been around. 25 years? At least. So people have been putting people in photos where they really weren't for a long, long time. I know it's getting better. I know it's getting harder to tell. But especially for the untrained eye, you look and you go, I mean, I'm looking at Kim Jong-un and Elvis, and, you know, other than the fact that one wasn't alive when the other one was, it sure looks real. They're giving a handshake. They're both looking at the camera. So it's getting better for the people who like to manipulate video and photos. So these are called these doctored photos and video. They have a name for them now. They're called deep fakes. Yeah, D-E-E-P, fakes. And so that is what they're saying is the next frontier for misinformation. Oh, okay. But like I said, Photoshop's been around a long time. I guess you might get snookered by some manipulated video or photo. We've played games in the radio business for a long, long time of manipulating audio. Many, many years ago, I used to work with a guy who was a graduate of Michigan, and I went to Washington, University of Washington. He went to University of Michigan. And so they were facing off in the Rose Bowl many, many years ago. So he and I would argue. He was supposed to do the news updates at the bottom of the hour. And he and I would argue about Washington versus Michigan. And I would bring in the Washington fight song and play it underneath his newscast. And he would do the same thing the next day to me. And So finally, I said, "Let's go into the studio and let's settle this." So I went in there and I asked him all kinds of questions, and he answered. And I went in and I cut up all of his answers to be totally different. I changed the questions. I changed the answers. That was probably 25, 30 years ago. His name is Don Andrews. Great guy, wonderful guy, but I had so much fun manipulating the audio that we had. And so we've been doing this for a long time, kind of behind the scenes, playing around. But it can be done on the air as well. So that's what they're saying, is how will people know what's fake and what's not? So Facebook says it has built a machine learning model that uses various engagement signals. I'm not sure what that means. Including reports from users to identify potentially false content. And they send false content to fact checkers for review. Oh, you know what they're looking at here. They're going, we need to get this done because, you know, we've got an election coming up. So Zuckerberg said they're in a race to get this new security effort in place before Election Day. Kind of late, isn't it? I mean, we're already in September. We're less than 2 months, aren't we? Yeah, we're less than 2 months away. We're like a month and a half away from Election Day. So I don't know what they're going to be able to do about it now, but is this necessary? Is this necessary? And also, can they really do something? Because Zuckerberg wrote in a blog, identifying and removing these campaigns is difficult because the amount of activity across our services is so large. Fake accounts continue to slip through without detection, and we also err in the other direction, mistakenly taking down people using our services legitimately. These services, he writes, will never be perfect, but by investing in artificial intelligence and more people, we will continue to improve. So the bottom line is, they're not going to be able to stop it. But he has pledged that Facebook will be more open about the new security protocols that the company is developing. He writes, while we want to move quickly when we identify a threat, it's also important to wait until we uncover as much of the network as we can before we take accounts down to avoid tipping off our adversaries who would otherwise take extra steps to cover their remaining tracks. So in other words, Facebook is admitting loud and clear they can't stop this. So let me ask you something. Are you on guard when you're online? Do you have a jaundiced eye? Do you look at things with a question mark? Do you stop and think about what it is that you're looking at and what it is you're reading and what's the video and what's the photo and going, are these things real? I don't know about you, but I know on this program we check each other all the time. We see stories. Do you see that story about such and such? And yeah, is that real? And you do some checking. You find out. So what do you think? Facebook, machine learning model. They are going to use optical character recognition to extract text from photos to compare that text to headlines from the articles. They have separated fake content into three categories. Number one is manipulated. Number two, out of context. Number three, text or audio claim. I'm telling you, Elvis is shaking Kim Jong-un's hand. I don't know what that means. I think it's a breakthrough in our relations with North Korea. Do you think in your lifetime you are going to see anybody be able to stop fake news, fake photos, fake videos. Do you question what you read? Do you question what you see? There used to be a joke back in the days of newspapers. And people would say, well, I read it in the newspaper. It must be true. And it was said in a sarcastic vein because of the fact 50 years ago when newspapers would print something and people would go, I don't know about that. I'm not sure I believe that. So I have before me a letter from Adam Schiff, member of Congress, Stephanie Murphy, member of Congress, and Carlos Carbello, member of Congress. They have written to Dan Coats, the Director of National Intelligence, and they want the intelligence community of our government to report to Congress about the implications of new technologies that will allow malicious actors to fabricate audio, video, and still images. And I'm thinking, new technologies? I'm sorry, members of Congress, this technology's been around for a long time. It's just getting better, that's all. So they want this report from the Director of National Intelligence about these forgeries of audio, video, and photos, and they want that on their desk in Congress no later than December 14th, 2018. So Adam Schiff is on it. He is the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, and he has written to the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, saying, we want you to investigate this. What do you think Dan Coats is going to say? If you were Dan Coats, what would you say on investigate this and get back to us by December 14th? You got 3 months to let us know about these forgeries of audio, video, and still images. And will it change a thing, or is this just another bunch of wasted time by Congress? Like, Dan Coats has nothing else to worry about. No. He's not worried about any other intelligence around the world, but got to work on these fake photos. I'm telling you, Kim Jong-un and Elvis, I think we have a breakthrough. 855-295-6600. We'll be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
I don't know. I guess they're not working on Russia or something because they want the Director of National Intelligence to study these new technologies that allow people to fabricate audio, video, and photos. I guess it's important. I mean, at some point, they're worried about somehow this will affect the national security. And I'm not quite sure. It says an assessment of how foreign governments, foreign intelligence services, or foreign individuals could use deep fake technology to harm the United States' national security interest. Okay. So I maybe I need to have a bigger vision here that Adam Schiff has a bigger vision about. They're already out there doing that. But it really comes down to who is going to be hurt by this. I don't think our national security will be. I think it will be the online media. Because you are going to get to the point, if this continues to grow and gets better and better, and you get fooled all the time, what are you going to do? If you keep getting snookered by the media that you are using, you're looking at things, you're researching information, you're Googling some topic you want to know more about, and you keep finding out that you've been snookered, that what you're reading or what you're seeing is fake, well, what will you eventually do? My vision takes it to you will say, I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm going to get my information some other way. And so maybe it's in broad scope. Maybe the internet, you will go, I'm not going to go get my information from the internet. I don't know where else you're going to go. That has become our digital library. But there may be individual websites where you go, oh, I went to NBC or CBS or Fox or wherever it might be, and they had false information on there. I don't trust them anymore. I'm going to go find some trustworthy news source. So for those of you that are out there trying to figure out where the next $1 billion is going to be made, it might be in that particular area. Maybe that's what Facebook is trying to come up with. But even they're saying, we cannot promise that we can catch all the fakes. So for Facebook, they are one of the media companies, social media companies, that has to worry about this, because if you go to Facebook and you keep running into fake information that you later find out, embarrassingly find out, oh, I guess I thought that was real. I feel so stupid, the fact that I fell for this fake news, this fake photo, this fake video. Well, I'm not going to go back to Facebook anymore. I don't trust that site. So for Facebook, they have to really be interested in trying to solve this. They have a vested interest in trying to make fake video and fake photos not there on their site. The rest, I mean, the blogs out there, the conspiracy blogs, the political blogs, they can do whatever they want. You'll find out which ones of those, and I think some of you already have found out which blogs out there, especially in the political world, are total fake, total made up. Oh, they put a kernel of truth in there, but the rest of it is not true, and you people buy it hook, line, and sinker. You send me stuff all the time that's just not true, and I presume you are starting to go, I guess maybe my source where I get all my good political information isn't such a good source if I keep getting embarrassed by putting out, with my name on it, something that's totally phony. So I don't care about the bloggers, but a big company like Facebook, with billions of customers daily, they have to be very concerned about this. Google, not so much, because they're not content. They give you links, but they give you links to somebody else's content. But Facebook is, I know they're doing the same thing. It's somebody else posts the content on their Facebook page, but Facebook is saying, we have to police this to make sure that you don't get false information.
Time all the time with Tom Sullivan.
Prime time it is, and speaking of prime time, are we sponsored by Amazon or something? Where did that come from? They took the, you know, Amazon has their Prime membership and all that. So tying in with the tech theme, and who do you trust, and what do you trust, and which sites do you trust? Do you trust Amazon? Because, Amazon originally, you know, was all they did was sell you a book for a better price. And they drove a lot of really cool local bookstores out of business. They couldn't compete, could not compete. So then they got into, you know, soup to nuts. I mean, they got everything. They got everything. And so today, Jeff Bezos has announced a new $2 billion fund for an effort that he calls the Day One Fund. He is the wealthiest man in the world, and people have been after him for a long time. the fact that he's not as philanthropic as somebody like Bill and Melinda Gates. So he's had a lot of pressure. Do something, do something, do something. So the Day One Fund will launch with a $2 billion commitment split between the Day One Families Fund and the Day One Academics Fund. What? What's this? Well, he wants to help. It's going to be focused on homeless families and preschools. He wants to create a network of new nonprofit tier one preschools in low-income communities. So a lot of people have tried. There was, speaking of Mark Zuckerberg, Zuckerberg gave, Andy, can you look it up? What was it he gave to the Newark School District? Was it $1 million? That was when, $100 million. That was when Cory Booker was mayor. And Zuckerberg came in and gave $100 million to the Newark School District. For those of you who don't know Newark, Newark is a low-income city. A lot of crime, a lot of inner-city problems. And so the schools are bad. And so Zuckerberg says, I'll give $100 million to the schools. Oh, my gosh. The Newark school officials were just so thrilled and so happy and everything else. Do you know the year on that? Was it 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that? And they have done a lot of follow-up to see how the $100 million went, and it's made almost no difference. And that was 8 years ago, 2010. And so a lot of the money has gone into monies for the school district and for the school district employees and for... Yeah, it didn't help the kids. Let me just put it that way. It did not help the kids. So here comes Jeff Bezos and $100 million. Ha! I'll see your $100 million and raise it. $2 billion. A lot of us, I'm not alone on this, a lot of people believe that the current government school system, the public school system, is pretty much the system that's been around for 100 years, except for they've added all kinds of other responsibilities for teachers to do that they never used to have to do. So it's made it worse, and you wonder why we have such a miserable result when it comes to kids being so far behind in reading, in mathematics, in so many different venues where we are getting a bad report card, a failing report card from most of our public schools. So will Jeff Bezos, $2 billion, going to be split, $1 billion for the homeless, $1 billion for the preschools, and they're called Day One Academies. And he says, I'm creating a new nonprofit tier one preschool in low-income neighborhoods. So Amazon, people talk about Amazon is taking over the world. They're now going to take over teaching children in the pre-grades, preschool era, in low-income neighborhoods. I don't know the answer. I believe it's a much deeper problem why $100 million did not work in Newark. Is that the children have to go home. They spend the evening, they sleep overnight, and they get up in the morning, and they're at home. They come to school, they spend, I don't know what time period in school, from 8 to 3 or something like that. So 6-7 hours a day. But the rest of the day is spent with their families. Well, if there is a dysfunctional family, and I think that's where you get into the root cause of kids need somebody at home who gives 2 cents about their fact that their children's education is important. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor. It does not. If your parents care just a little about you getting a good education, you will get a good education. So what do you think about this? Will this work? Will Jeff Bezos unlock the problem with kids in low-income neighborhoods getting trapped in low-income environments and then getting trapped in what leads to low-income neighborhoods is a lot of crime, a lot of drugs, a lot of drug dealing? So this is what he's up to. He's also got that rocket company Blue Origin. He's got the Washington Post. He's got a lot of money. He's worth $150 billion. So he's peeling $2 billion to solve the homeless problem and also the education problem with kids from low-income neighborhoods. I grew up in a low-income neighborhood. I'm the only guy of my buddies that went on to college. Most of them did not. Most of the parents did not really care if you went to college. My parents didn't really care if I went to college. I was the first in my family. But my parents cared about me behaving in school, getting my homework done, doing my work. That's what they cared about. And as a result, I got a great education. I think I did. So would you trust the public school to teach your child, or would you trust Jeff Bezos, an Amazon founder, to teach your child? Which one do you think will do better? For teachers out there, I don't know what you make of this. Are you looking around and going, there's a bureaucracy in my school district and they don't care about anything other than their own bureaucracy? And I really am a teacher that cares about teaching kids? Does this interest you? Maybe there's somebody that actually cares. Maybe there's somebody out there that actually cares and isn't going to be a bureaucrat. Going to demand results. I mean, Bezos is a tough executive. He's going to demand results. So for you teachers, does this sound like something that you might want to check out? Find out more? They'll issue Day One Families Fund will issue annual leadership awards to organizations and civics groups that basically perform. What do you make of it? Do you trust the public schools or Jeff Bezos to teach your children? Phone number is 855-295-6600. Congress is working on fake photos. Jeff Bezos is working on getting a good education and helping homeless people. We'll be right back.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
Some cities make it real easy to find out how much they're spending on their schools or school budget. Others seem to hide it a little bit. They don't really want you to know. They don't. I don't know why, but they seem to want to keep it somewhat hidden. I'm looking, especially since Amazon's from Seattle, I'm looking at the Seattle Public School District, and I'm digging down from their adopted budget and trying to figure out how much is it. I know I looked up San Francisco. Bezos is putting up $2 billion in this new program that he has. San Francisco, their school budget is $889 million. New York City is $24 billion. So I don't know where I can't find the Seattle one, but what do you make of? Are we going to have corporate schools that will drive the government schools out of business? And then you can find out which corporation is doing the best job of teaching the children in your community. 855 295 6600. Ashley in Fort Hood, Texas. Hello, Ashley.
Hey, Tom. So, yes, I agree that one of the biggest factors in the failing of education here in the U.S. tends to be the home. But even if a person has a failing home, teaching them nothing all day, basically, or teaching them on an old model, based not anything at we're going through today, cause a child not to be able to really get or maximize their education at all. My brother, he's actually a teacher, and I would like to become a teacher, but I tend to believe that the Montessori method is one of the best ways to capture under fifth grade, to capture that attention. You need to make sure that you're watching what actually the child is gravitating towards, and that will give you a big idea on how they actually learn best.
Montessori has always received all kinds of kudos, haven't they? They just have for years.
But so, you know what I will say is that I don't care where the money comes from, but if it doesn't tend to work, then this should be a big wake up to us all that throwing money at the problem doesn't help. You need to have teachers in there that aren't hamstringed, a bunch of paperwork to where they can't actually spend time with their children. And number two, you need to have government out of the way. All that red taping that you have around teachers causes it to be impossible for the teachers to actually make a connection the way the child needs to.
Yeah. No, it's very bureaucratic. I know we're kind of going there with charter schools, but I see the government school model being completely outdated. It is being preserved primarily by the teachers' unions who don't want to see any change whatsoever. I can see where this is going to start becoming interesting. If Jeff Bezos is going to get in on it, then what about Facebook and what about Microsoft and what about all these other philanthropic groups that are worth billions of dollars? What are they going to do? I think they'll get in as well.
Well, to me, Todd, I don't care where the money comes from. You can start a school for very cheap. What it depends on is how are the teachers able to teach their children? Can they actually spend the time that they need to with their children? And do you have parents actually learning during the time that they're in school?
Right, but you got to send them home, and that's where I think it's a real problem. It's a bigger societal problem than just focusing on the school districts. Is what is home like for this child, and can they study?
That is true.
Can they are they encouraged?
And studies have proven that if a child is going to go to school hungry, it goes with the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. A child cannot even think about anything else before they get fed. So if they're sitting there hungry or they're worrying about what's going to happen, is mommy going to get shot when I go home? They can't even think about what to do.
Hunger is one of them. The other one that's right there with them is, are they afraid? Is there any discipline? Are there gangs? Are there people that are violent in their schools? They can't be afraid if they're going to get beaten up in the bathroom between classes. So crime, food, all those things go into whether or not a child is ready to go. But Ashley, always good to hear from you. I appreciate your call. Lois in Pennsylvania. Lois, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Lois.
It's so frustrating to hear these rich guys pouring all this money into public schools. Bill Gates did this a few years ago. He put $300 million into the public school system, and he publicly admitted that it did absolutely no good at all. But if Jeff Bezos wants to make a difference, instead of putting that money into preschool education, he should take that money and give it and put together scholarships for kids to go to private schools so that creates more opportunity for kids
right.
to get out of failing public schools and go someplace else. I mean, the key to fixing education is competition. It's not putting more money into preschool or public schools. I mean, we need competition, and we need to try different things and let the marketplace sort its way out and let parents choose what kind of schools they want for their kids.
I agree with you. There's always stories that come out probably every a couple of year. Here in New York, in both Harlem and the Bronx, there's some private schools that have, in the midst of low income, poverty, crime, gangs, everything else, have produced amazingly smart kids that go on to college with scholarships. They're great programs. So just because a kid comes from poverty doesn't mean they're not smart. And I agree with you. There are programs out there that are very successful. They're very successful. Just copy them. Or like you said, give scholarships to some of these kinds of programs. Absolutely.
I mean, I talk to parents a lot about education, and then the fights parents have to go through with public school administrators because they're not happy with what's going on in their school. And, you know, parents have to be able to have choices, and not just poor kids. I mean, middle class kids too. If the school isn't serving their needs, they need to have options to get out. Why should they have to fight with administrators or teachers all the time? Why do we always have to fight? Why can't we just pull our kids out and send them someplace else? I mean, if you're not happy at Walmart, do you fight with the manager until he changes his policies, or do you go to Target?
You go someplace else. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Lois, good points, very much. I appreciate your call. You may have seen the movie. It's an amazing story. Waiting for Superman is about the Harlem school, charter school, that is absolutely amazing. It's a great program.